Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
An opportunity, space out here. So Tonks has it. Gets it across to Jones.
The runner's on the inside as well. It's Scotland on the charge. Scotland the brave. They have hit back through Hamish Watson. What a try by the visitors.
Hello and welcome to episode 27 of the Thistle Rugby Podcast, the only rugby podcast that cares about Scottish rugby. How are you guys doing? It has been one hell of a weekend in Scottish rugby. I am David and I'm joined here by Matt. How are you doing, mate?
Yeah, good, mate. Good to be back from holiday and, you know, I just missed the pod so much. It's great.
And for those who have been missing him, we are going to be having a chat with Alan all the way from New Zealand as well. He's going to give us a rundown on the Lions squad. Thanks again for joining us. You're probably listening to us via the Apple podcast app or on Acast. You can also follow us on Twitter at Thistle Rugby Pod. That has been absolutely firing over the weekend with so much good news about Scottish rugby. If you are listening to us via the iTunes store, please get on there. Please, please, please. It's all we really ask. Get on there and leave us a review. It really helps with our ratings and getting our name out there. Like our good friend Jollymon Chris says, new to the podcast, it's pure brill. Liking the patter, I'm an expat Edinburgh Aki rugby loving lad living out in Kuala Lumpur. In Singapore, I witnessed the magic against Italy last weekend, and then to come off the back of that and gub the Aussies. Let's crack a can of tartan special. That is good. I'm loving that.
Cracking a can of tartan special with the boys.
Exactly. Just like, you know, homeless, tartan special is a bit of a homeless person drink, isn't it?
Yeah, but, you know, when the mood strikes.
When the mood strikes, we can hit that, absolutely. As we say, if you're listening to us, you know how big a weekend it's been for Scotland, so we're going to get into that with our three issues. Firstly, we are going to be talking about that win against Australia. Secondly, we will be chatting to Alan all the way from New Zealand, talking about Lions, talking about the call-ups, Finn and Alan Dell, as well as how the rest of the Scottish boys have been getting on. And then we're going to have a look at another amazing result against Australia, Scotland under-20s beating Australia to be fifth in the world. And that's the highest ever ranking for them. But why don't we start with a little bit of news. It's actually come out this morning. We've been talking about it on the pod for a wee while, about Finn Russell showing a little bit of skirt to the top 14 and some clubs down there. We've heard that he's really, really keen to get a move down there. Mark Palmer and the Scotsman both putting out stories this morning about Finn signing a big money deal to join Vern Cotter at Montpellier next year. Matt, what do you make of it?
Yeah, I'm still a bit divided over this one. I just don't think at his age, going to France is the best thing for his development. I think that Johnny Sexton went over, played for Racing, and struggled in the aftermath of that. But then again, you know, you got Vrancotta there. He's not going to be running the club as an amateur outfit. He's going to really professionalize it. They made some big, really strong signings. And maybe it could be good for his development. I'm still not so sure though.
I've got the same sort of feeling. But what we've heard from our man in the know, who's very close to these sort of things, is that Montpellier deal is not signed, but there have been talks, and it's pretty close. Finn is looking for a way out of Scotland if he can get one. A lot of it based on the fact we hear that he's really worried about getting up another head knock, which could shorten his career. So if you look at it through that lens, can you really begrudge the guy for wanting to go and make some serious coin down at Montpellier? Secondly, news-wise, and not nearly as exciting, Edinburgh have signed what looks to be a backup prop in a guy from Daryl Marfo from Bath. Matt, have you ever heard of this guy?
I'd be lying if I said I'd heard of him. You know, Edinburgh Rugby keep doing this on Twitter. They keep putting out these little rods saying that they've got an exciting new signing. We get very excited. We tweet about it. The fans get excited. And just so far, every single one, barring maybe Robbie Frew in a bit, has been pretty underwhelming. But to be fair, you sort of look at who he is. He's a prop who's come from Bath. He played a bit at London Welsh on a sort of dual registration. He's Scots qualified, which is a positive. You never know. He could be one of those signings that the SU sometimes get in. They're quite random, but do quite well. And it sounds like he will be a backup prop. You need these sort of squad players. The Edinburgh front row with, you know, the likes of Nell and Dell and the young guys coming through like Murray McCallum and Roy Sutherland is still strong. So, yeah, squad player, nothing much else.
Yeah, why not give him a year, see how he gets on? And you mentioned Robbie Frewin. I think that's happened. He is now official. He's in Edinburgh. My brother saw him today.
Yeah, my brother saw him in the Roseburn Scotsmid. So there you go.
There you go. My brother saw him on the mound. So he's getting around. He is getting around Edinburgh. If you see Robbie Frewin, let us know. Let us know which small supermarket you see him in. But news-wise, that's pretty much it. All the news has been happening on the other side of the world. So why don't we start that? It was a hell of an early start, 6 a.m., Scotland versus Australia in Sydney. And what a win that was. Matt, what did you make of it all?
Yeah, I mean, I was following it on closely on Twitter because unfortunately I was on holiday in France and couldn't find a stream. But I've watched sort of extensive highlights and read some loads of match reports. And yeah, I mean, just what a win. I think we talked about it before and I had actually predicted a win. And I think that it was part of the Scotland team evolution that if we wanted to be taken as a serious outfit, we needed to actually... Beating Australia was really, really important. So, you know, first and foremost to get that win away... is huge. I think the sort of the importance of the win is made even more even clearer by the fact that, you know, Scotland was missing arguably its three best players in Hogg, Laidlaw and Seymour, and Australia were pretty much full strength apart from David Pocock. So yeah, it was really amazing. So just absolutely class result overall.
Yeah, and maybe that missing David Pocock's, I don't know, he's like finding himself doing some sort of like environmental mission in Africa at the moment. But it was in that back row that, I mean, we've talked about it time and time again. I mean, Hamish Watson really coming to prominence. But for me, it was all about John Barkley, the skipper. What an amazing performance. And the pair of them absolutely dominated that breakdown area, much like they did against Wales in the Six Nations when they were playing together. Just two incredibly smart players, both with different sort of skill sets, but both amazingly competitive and smart at the breakdown. And I mean, Michael Hooper, who you talk about, what an unbelievable number seven he is. He had a good game, but he was completely nullified by Barkley and Hamish Watson. And it was just an amazing thing to see. I would say, if I can get into a negative early and get it out the way, I think Ryan Wilson in between them was probably the weakest link in the Scotland side. And that's a Scotland side with Greg Tonks at 15. So, I mean, how many penalties? Six, seven, and a yellow card? Like, just... And some of them were just so hapless. You know, it was the Ryan Wilsons of Barbecue Kings fame. Like, just doing stupid things and giving away penalties. And that kept Australia in the game.
Yeah, I think once again, don't want to focus on the negatives, but I thought that Strauss did really well when he came on. And I just think that if you look at what our best back row is, Townsend clearly likes to mix things up, but it has to be Barkley, Strauss, and Watson. Another positive I thought was the halfbacks playing seriously well, and particularly Finn Russell. I think, you know, he's come in for a bit of flack in recent months, including from myself, and I think that was probably his best ever game in a Scotland jersey. He just took control, both in his kicking game and just his general sort of distribution and running the attack, and his defence. For like a small guy, when you see him take his top off and stuff, he's a tiny guy, so I don't see that very often. I've seen it in videos and stuff.
You're watching topless videos of Finn Russell?
Some video on YouTube or some sort of online site. I don't know where I dug that out of. But anyway, I thought he was absolutely class. And as was Ali Price, quick ball to good breaks. And he's got a really good cover defense game as well.
I'll save my question about Ali Price to you in a second, just to talk about what I thought of Finn. There was one time he did one loose kick, and I think I'm going to forgive him for it. It was a chip on through, and it just went to nothing. But there was times that he just was asking questions of this defense all throughout the game from all over the park. You know, you look at the attacking moves, the amazing third try that was set up by the sort of wraparound, and just the countless times that he was putting people through holes. He almost sent John Barkley clean through this hole. It was a millimeter wide, and it was an absolute joy to watch on slow motion replay, because Finn was looking completely the opposite way and just slips it out the other hand, and it was so close. But he did a 22 dropout to himself and then sort of made it 60 meters up the park, completely took the Aussies by surprise, and he just looks amazing. And quite frankly, going back to Ali Price, he looked amazing, and I can't see a scenario in which you're starting, which Gregor Townsend is going to start Greg Laidlaw ahead of Ali Price now. I think this is it. I think we've seen the changeover, and I think the style of play that Townsend's bringing in is much, much faster. He wants to run people off the park, and I don't think that fits Greg Laidlaw. Do you think Greg's days are numbered?
I think there's still a place for him, but no, I would agree that his days are numbered, and I think with him moving to Clermont, it gives Townsend maybe a chance to say to him, well, you're in France now, we want to stick with our players that are playing in Scotland. I thought, you know, Paragos did a pretty good job when he came on, and you've also got Sam Hidalgo-Klein in the wings. And if you want to play a fast game, then Hidalgo-Klein, if he's on form, I think can do that as well for you. So yeah, maybe that is sort of the getting towards the end of Greg in a Scotland shirt.
Yeah, I think so. If you look at it through the lens of Gregor Townsend coming and imprinting that Glasgow style on the game with a bit more kicking from 10 and much, much faster off the base, stretching that contact area away from those one-up passes, I think Ali Price is absolutely your man, and I'd love to see him starting in those November tests and obviously against Fiji at the weekend. Where else was strong? Xander Fagerson's, he just keeps on performing at top levels. I was critical of the choice to start him ahead of Nell, but he put in a great 60 minutes, and what an amazing option to have, bringing WP Nell off the bench for that last 20 minutes, which is just something that Scotland haven't had in so, so long.
Yeah, it was amazing to see Nell come on, and I think his first two scrums, he absolutely crumpled Tom Robertson, the Aussie prop, who looks like a pretty budget player, and he was subbed right away. It was absolutely class. I agree. Starting Ferguson ahead of Nell seemed like a bit of a risk, but he really has come on leaps and bounds this season. And it's easy to forget that it is his debut international season. It's absolutely incredible.
Yeah, the kid's only he's only 21 years old. Like, he's unbelievable. You talk about tight heads coming of age at 28, 29, 30. Like, he is a great, great prospect, and that was just great to see. But I think one of the best things, the best returns that I saw, Duncan Taylor getting a run in that 12 jersey, something that we've talked about a lot, and wanting to get him a solid run at in his preferred position. And I thought what he brought to that Scotland backline was just something completely different. Having had Alex Dunbar there, who is really, really solid, but he's not that creative in attack. He's not particularly heads up. You know, he wants to get over the gain line, and that's great. But Duncan Taylor is just a smart player. He's got brilliant hands, great distribution, and he just plays like eyes up rugby, and he just knows what's going on. Like, just the the little delay in that final pass to Haemus Watson was just a little typifying of how good he was and the tracking for that. And I think it's just brilliant. And oh well, he's trying. Great little sort of sniping around the sides, picks up a loose ball, and there you go, 5 points. Reminiscent of that tap and go he did against France, or was it Wales? And it was against France in the Six Nations 2 years ago. Like, he is just smart and quick, and he's just got the skills in abundance. So imagine him at 12 and Hugh Jones at 13. That is really, really tasty.
Yeah, I was just going to say that, actually, that that when you think about it, having so Taylor played so well, and the fact that he came back from injury as well, we didn't have him for most of the season, that starts to look like your first choice center partnership. And that just looks like a really solid defensively, albeit Hugh Jones had a bit of a mare against England in that position, but and then a really sort of ruthless cutting edge at both at 12 and 13, and guys who can distribute really well, which, you know, for to say that about Scotland center pairing is absolutely incredible. I think as well that I didn't like at one point when Haemus Watson went in for his try, the Aussie commentators described Scotland as Scotland the Brave, which I thought was, you know, a bit demeaning, and is quite sort of typical of us in the past, you know, plucky underdogs and putting in the effort but not coming out with the win. But I thought that our defence was absolutely incredible, particularly towards the end when we were under the cosh, and that involved sort of good first up hits. One of the best hits I saw was when Australia had a good attack and it looked for all money as if Bernard Foley was in, and Matt Scott got back and made an absolutely incredible tackle. We managed to defend against them. So that was really pleasing as well. I think the character is pretty unquestionable in the squad at the moment.
Yeah, just on those defensive stats, you had Johnny Gray making 15, Ben Toulis making 15, Barkley making 15, Watson making around that number. I mean, there's your sort of your nucleus of those guys just making huge, huge amounts of hits, and that really just makes a difference. Finn Russell made 13 tackles down his channel. He missed a couple, but I mean, 13 tackles, probably most of them on Kuran Drani. Like, yeah. that is a decent shift from the lad. But I think what a great, and I think one quick mention on the squad, the ability to have that 23-man game is coming along for Scotland. If you think about the people that are out, injuries that we're carrying, I think we're getting to the stage where we can put out a really, really tasty 23 come November, certainly come the Six Nations injury pending. So Fiji at the weekend, which will be good, looking forward to that. But shall we patch Alan in, see how he's getting on down in New Zealand? Okay, let's do that. And here he is, all the way from New Zealand. Alan, how you doing, mate?
Good. How you doing, guys?
Yeah, good, mate. How are things? How was the stopover in Thailand, mate? You managed to pick yourself up a wee bride?
No, I did not pick up a bride. Bangkok.
A classic, definitely, from Alan.
I went straight on through to New Zealand. And I've only been watching rugby. That's all I've been doing.
Good stuff. So where are you at the moment?
Yes, yeah, so we're currently in Taupo, which is sort of middle of the North Island, and heading up to Hamilton tonight to see what pretty much all the Scotland players now playing against the Chiefs. So no, it'll be good.
Yeah, that'll be class. So what games have you been to so far? Did you go to the first one against the Barbarians, or were you later than that?
No. So we flew in for the Crusaders game. So sadly, saw Stuart Hogg take one right in the chops. It was. We actually thought, I actually was shouting at him to get up. I thought he was play acting because, you know, he does have a little bit of a history.
That was my initial thought as well. I thought that he'd taken like a slight knock and he'd gone down to try and milk a yellow.
Yeah. No. The same. And actually, really annoyingly, we were sort of like looking at him in training, and sort of first sort of 10-15 minutes of that game, he was looking a lot sharper than he was against the Barbarians. And actually, some of the stories that have come out of what they were all like pre the Barbarians matches, like a lot of them were really struggling to sleep. It sounds like that must have been sort of the worst game to play in terms of just general fatigue. I think just. Obviously, it's been really good watching all the games, but just from a sort of Scottish perspective, it's quite sad to see that happen. And I think everyone pretty quickly realised that he wasn't going to make the tour. So,
yeah.
But Crusaders game was really good. I think obviously it would have been nice to see a few more tries, but you could just see that the Lions pack were just so on top of that Crusaders pack throughout the whole game. And then in terms of atmosphere, the game in Dunedin for the Highlanders was unbelievable. Obviously from a Scotland perspective, we were chatting a little bit about how I thought that could be an opportunity for Seymour to kind of maybe not stake his claim for a test spot, but at least start sort of pushing his way forward, sort of him against Naholo. And obviously apart from his try, I think he was sort of relatively poor. I don't know what you guys thought.
Yeah, I think that's generally the thought about around him. His try was a great read and everything like that, but I suppose at this level you expect a winger to pick that sort of thing up. And no, he looked... None of them have looked that good, to be fair. Like, I think...
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Greg has just done what Greg does. Like, we criticise him pretty much week in, week out for maybe just being half a yard too slow. And it seems that that's just been the case.
Yeah, actually, we were sitting in a pub in Queenstown watching the game against the Maori, and I think sort of pretty much everyone in there was, especially, was just sort of losing it with Greg Laidlaw at the end of the game because he was just taking so long with the distribution. Even longer than normal, I thought. And I just felt sort of he wasn't particularly managing the game very well in the last sort of 10-15 minutes. So sadly, I have a feeling that if one of the scrum halves goes down, I think they would probably put up Davis in. That's sort of the general feeling that a lot of people have out here.
Yeah, that was my fear when I saw the backups announced that just sort of gives paid to any chance that Greg might have had of being involved. I think it's also quite harsh maybe that Greg has, you know, he had that start against the Barbarians, but apart from that, he's sort of been coming on off the bench and expecting to make an impact at a time when there's a lot of other subs on as well. And against the Maori, the whole thing got so disjointed, and it just felt like he was taking a bit of the brunt, but I still think at the same time, he's not played particularly well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think probably now, Finn Russell's probably got the biggest chance of being a test player, which is slightly ridiculous. But I think I generally can't envisage a situation where Laidlaw or Seymour get in that test squad.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't look that way. What was this sort? I mean, obviously, we only saw it via Twitter and reading and sort of hearing all the punditry and stuff like that. What was the sort of feeling on the ground when those call ups got made of those? Of the Welsh lads, and then obviously Alan Dell and Finn Russell the following day.
Yeah, I think when the four Welsh lads came out, the sort of initial reaction was, what the fuck is going on? And obviously it was great to see Finn Russell getting called up. I have to admit, even I was a little bit surprised that Alan Dell was getting a flight across the Tasman. I know sort of a lot of stuff's come out in terms of that it was pre-planned, and that actually these are the way it's been sort of communicated was that these are people that are more bodies rather than people fighting for a test place in the team, which I actually kind of get the logic of. Like, you can't bring all these players across at the start of the tour, but it is obviously useful to have additional bodies at this point because you don't want to be playing many of your test players in the midweek games. But I just think sort of it's been communicated really, really poorly, and I just think the fact that the most of them are Welsh, the fact that most people have never actually heard of any of these players just play goes down so badly. And I think they could have easily managed this a lot better and actually could have got a couple of English players or Irish players across last week if this was a pre-planned move.
Yeah.
I think on the flip side, I think from a Scottish perspective, it's just great to see, hopefully see Finn Russell out in a Lions shirt playing against the Chiefs, sort of getting an even a bigger stage to kind of show how good he is.
Well, I think I think you're right in saying that Finn's got a bit of a chance. You know, Dan Biggar's taken knocks in both of his games to the Lions and sort of limped off in both of them. And, you know, Farrell's carrying that little bit of a niggle in the quad. There's an opportunity for him to, if things go his way, that he could sort of make his way into sort of test contention.
Look, absolutely. Obviously, you don't want to see players getting injured, but Sexton is sort of notoriously brittle. Farrell's taken injuries, Biggar's taken hits, and these tests are going to be probably the most intense game of the last sort of like since sort of the World Cup, and players are going to go down. And if there is going to be a Scotland player, he's definitely just got the highest chance because in the back three, there's just a bit too much depth, and I actually think Seymour's probably right at the back of the queue now of those players. That's what it kind of feels like out here.
Yeah,
and I think with Laidlaw.
Sorry, I mean the fact that he's the only non-replacement from last week. The sort of raft of replacements called up to be on the bench is a pretty damning sign.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And then, have you guys heard this chat about the Scotland player rejecting the Lions call up?
Yeah, we did see that on Twitter. A bit of speculation around who it was. Maybe Johnny Barkley, Johnny Gray. What have you heard?
Yeah, well, obviously it's come from our pod friend Stephen Jones, who's been given a lot of chat about this sort of selections. And it kind of seems the rumor is it's Fraser Brown was.
Which is interesting.
Yeah.
You think, particularly if you think you're getting the full package of the 70k and all the stash, and at hooker, if you talk about attrition rates, about hookers that could go down, Fraser Brown would have had a decent chance of knocking on that door, the way things go.
Yeah, completely agree. The rumour is that all the players are getting the 70 grand and the full kit. And so that is what shocked me. I was like, if you're not getting the cash, I completely understand rejecting it. But that is a lot of money for a rugby player, especially a Scottish rugby player.
Yeah,
mate, he's a man of excellent moral fibre. So you know, you don't breed too many of them.
He went to Murky. He doesn't have excellent moral fibre.
That's true.
But what do you make of all the chat about? How it seems that the management team of the Lions just don't rate Johnny Gray at all. And that's why... is it Corey Hill? I still get their names wrong.
Corey Hill.
Who the hell is Corey Hill?
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the point. I get not rating Johnny Gray in comparison to, Itoje. But not rating him in comparison to Corey Hill is completely ridiculous. I'm sorry. This is a guy who hasn't played Champions Cup or Six Nations rugby this year.
And the
only reason Corey Hill is there over Johnny Gray is because Corey Hill knows the calls and can slot into the line-out straight away. So I don't really buy the fact that Johnny Gray is not able to come over. I actually just think second row is a much harder position to slot in straight away. And I know Corey Hill was training with the Lions when they were in Wales pre going out to New Zealand.
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, speaking of those Scotland players, did you manage to catch the game against the Aussies? What were your thoughts on that?
Oh my God, how good was it? So good. We were watching it at a pub in Queenstown pre the Lions game, and I thought there's been a lot of chat about how poor Australia were, but I generally believe that I think it was more Scotland's doing rather than Australia's undoing. I think Barkley and Watson are just world class at the breakdown. And I actually thought that they sort of schooled. I thought Hooper had a good game, but I generally thought they were getting the better of him. And old BBT, he just keeps coming on. I don't know what. He's had literally the best season of any player in the world.
Where does it end? BBT.
I know, where does it end?
But no, I've completely eaten my words. He was awesome at the weekend. He was brilliant. Just look, he looks like a completely different player from the guy that was sort of trotting around at the beginning of season for Edinburgh. Like, he's really just coming on.
Yeah, agreed. And actually, I think you can even start to see sort of Gregor Townsend sort of imprinting his sort of style on the team. I do think they're sort of... I mean, obviously, it's a lot easier for Townsend because of just the amount of Glasgow players in that team is such an easy transition. But no, I just thought it was such an attractive style of rugby. It was a really good game to watch. And, you know, if Townsend comes out of this Autumn Internationals with 3 out of 3, I mean, he's absolutely crushed it.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, he's done. So what's next for you, mate? Where are you off to?
Yeah, so up to Hamilton tonight for the Chiefs game. And then up to Auckland for the first test. And then I'm flying out Sunday morning after the test, 30 hours all the way back to the UK
via Thailand.
Is that why it's so long?
Yeah.
Yeah, five hours in Bangkok.
sounds absolutely class. And what are your predictions for the test series? What do you think?
I think it's going to be 2-1.
2-1
to New Zealand.
Wow.
And I think the Lions are going to win the first test.
Oh, I like that. I like that. It's punchy.
I think, I don't know. I think the Lions have got enough 1-10 to really rattle them. New Zealand. And it's not going to be pretty. It's not going to be attractive rugby, but I think it's something that could probably work. And I think it's going to be a mix of Saracens and Irish grunt that might just get us over the line in Eden Park. I think actually that Samoa game might actually be a bit of a negative for New Zealand because I think it's probably Samoa, especially in the second half defensively, were just so poor and just so slow in their line speed.
Yeah.
And this is such direct opposition to what Lions are going to be bringing on Saturday, but who knows? I might be eating my words, and we get absolutely crushed. But it's good. I'm looking forward to being back in the pod next week at home, chatting about a 3-all series and for Gregor Townsend.
Yeah,
hopefully, yeah.
Fingers crossed. Well, we'll let you go then, pal. Enjoy it, and we'll speak to you soon.
Sounds good. See you guys soon. Bye.
Cheers. And as soon as he was here, he is gone, off to watch all the Scotland boys play against the Chiefs. That's an interesting one. Dave Rennie, obviously coaching the Chiefs before heading back over to Glasgow, is going to hopefully get a look at Finn Russell, which will be interesting.
Yeah, definitely. I hope those guys have a good game. And I think you look at the Chiefs team for tomorrow and it's far from their first choice. So you'd like to think that Lions are going to win that. Not comfortably, but you know, with a bit to spare, and hopefully you see, particularly Finn Russell coming on, showing them what he can do, and maybe see more of him picking up a little try, and hopefully Greig has a good game because I don't think he's played that well so far, as we mentioned, but I still think he has it in him. Should we move on to Scotland Under 20s? Talk about those guys.
Let's do it.
Absolutely incredible. Finishing fifth in the most recent Under 20 World Championship hosted in Georgia, which looked like an incredible event overall. Looked like it was really well hosted. So beating Australia as a senior team did, and finishing fifth.
Just class as well, though. Just like clutch. You know, that final score from Scheel to get the win. You know, like 5 minutes to go, clutch opportunities, and you take them and you win it. Like it's stuff that we're now saying it regularly. It's stuff that Scotland just used to not do. And to finish fifth in the world at that under-20s level, knowing the player base that we've got and the structures that we've got are pretty much paling into significance into a lot of these unions, that's great. And it's quite a funny tournament. I mean, we finished fifth, but the only team we lost to was New Zealand. Yeah. Like we beat Ireland, Wales, Italy, and Australia. Four wins from five, yeah. And you end up finishing fifth. So cheers.
Yeah, it's incredible. And also the final was New Zealand against England. And New Zealand absolutely hosed England, put 64 points in them. It was like a record for a final or something, obviously. And Scotland only lost by 20 or so? Of 30?
Yeah.
No, I think it was like 25. And if you look at the fact that that whole England team is full of academy guys and guys who have even played Aviva Premiership rugby, and Scotland, you know, has a few academy guys, but it is mainly Prem 1 guys sort of making up the numbers. It is an absolutely incredible achievement. I think also from the games that I watched and the highlights, they played a really good style. You know, they were bringing in the wingers. There's still a lot of grunt up front, a lot of tries from Molls, but it seems as if the midfield were good distributors and bringing the likes of Darcy Graham, a hell of a player, and Robbie Nairn, two sort of contrasting wingers in terms of style, but both getting in for quite a lot of meat. So that was really positive to see. It wasn't as if we were just sort of grinding down teams. So it looks as if the style from the Scotland squad is filtering down.
Yeah, and some really, really interesting talent coming through in the packs as well. Like, we know a lot about Callum Hunter-Hill, Matt Ferguson. Like, how is Matt Ferguson only 18 years old? Like, what is going on in that household? They are unbelievable. He's so good for a guy his age. It's just amazing to have him coming through in that Glasgow Warriors side. Luke Crosby had a really great tournament as well. And a lot of those lads in the front rows as well. The Scotland scrum looking very, very solid, which is just really, really, really positive to see. And guys like Blair Kinghorn, almost you would say stepping down a level to go back and play under 20s with the amount of experience he's getting in the Pro 12. But I think that's great for him to get the consistent game time, and hopefully he can come through. I mean, who are we going to be seeing regularly in Edinburgh and Glasgow colours next year?
Yeah, a few guys in the pack. So the captain, Callum Hunter-Hill, recently signed a pro contract, or elite development player contract with Edinburgh, which is really great to see. He's absolutely massive. And he really was quite sort of totemic in the games that I watched. Sort of leading Molls and putting in real shift. And he's I've played with him in the past at Stumel, and he always had really good skills for a big lad. It was just maybe a matter of filling out and gaining that physicality, which he seems to have done. So it'd be interesting to see him. Matt Ferguson, we've talked about, has played a bit for Glasgow this season and seems to have done really well when he's got the chance. So it'd be interesting to see him maybe sort of stake a claim, considering obviously Cam Gibbons is coming in, but the fact that Favaro is gone, there is maybe a slot there. And then the two wingers, Darcy Graham and Robbie Nairn, who I mentioned, signed for Edinburgh and Glasgow, respectively. Not sure how much game time they'll get, because they're arguably quite competitive positions, but both of them sound like really exciting players, so hopefully they get some sort of chance.
Yeah, I think it's just great to see a good handful of these guys are going to hopefully go on and get pro games next year. And then who knows? I mean, Matt Ferguson can't be that far away from maybe a year and a half away from getting in that Scotland squad. It's just really, really exciting to see. And hopefully, I mean, John Dale's done an amazing job with this group of under-20s. Hopefully that filters through and it becomes a genuine sort of feeder into the national side. So, it's that side of the game seems to be coming on in Scotland. And we all know who's in charge of that, but we don't want to give him any praise. But for the time being, let's give it all to John DL, because that is a hell of a result for the Scotland lads out in Georgia. And good to see Georgia getting some exposure into that game as well, bringing them through. Fair play. Much else to go on, mate? Are we calling it a bit of time here?
Yeah, mate, I think we've covered everything. Obviously, just a great week and a delight to talk about. Just pure positives.
It is pure positive. I mean, looking ahead to the Fiji game, we've kind of forgotten about the Fiji game, I suppose, but I think we're just expecting a 3-from-3 tour now, aren't we?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it is potentially a banana skin. Fiji did beat Italy last week, but Italy aren't great shakes. But, you know, with the way the team's going at the moment, I can't see anything apart from a win.
What do you think they'll do? Is Horn come straight in there at 10 for Finn?
Well, Rui Jackson was on the bench against Australia, so maybe he's the next cab of the rank. I'm not quite sure. I know that they've sent home Alex Dunbar and Magnus Bradbury. So it'll be interesting to see what they do in the centre there. Maybe bring in Matt Scott to have a bit of a run with Duncan Taylor. I would rather see Pete Horn than Rui Jackson, but I've got a feeling it might be Jackson there.
Yeah, I think you might be right. Certainly if he was on the bench against Australia, not that he was getting any sniff of game time. And I suppose the Alan Dow gets covered because Gordy Reid's actually usually above him in the pecking order. So that's, we don't really lose much in the front row there. I think we're going to get a... I haven't done the maths, and I don't think World Rugby did the maths at the weekend when we were temporarily fourth in the world. I think if we beat Fiji by 15 plus or 20 plus, a big win against Fiji, we can actually get to fourth in the world weekend. So let's look at that, but don't trust my maths, but you can't really trust World Rugby's either, so can't do much about that. But anyway, guys, enjoy it. An absolute festival of rugby, and Scotland is not on top of the world, but we're certainly on our way up. So another week, that is the Thistle. Cheers, guys.
Cheers, guys.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.